Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my... I'll make my arms move like this, okay? Friend Frank, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I was not expecting that.
What did you think I was going to say? My angel in the outfield, friend Frank, or my beast friend Frank, or my friend Squints, you know, or...
my Sultan of SWAT, friend Frank.
My Frank the Jet ramblings, or he speaks.
You're full of them.
Yeah, I got a bunch. I'm also full of it.
You are also full of it.
The
yes.
beer. I'm full of the beer, Frank.
What beer?
The beer.
What beer are you full of?
I am full of... this delicious thing that I'm still actually drinking, Stony Creek's Sun Juice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working our way through the little stock holes that we have. It's good.
It's
that coriander
good.
That I spoke of last week,
still soapy?
Less soapy, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I've moved past the soapy.
Good, glad
either,
to hear.
Either I got used to it, or I don't notice it anymore, which is basically the same thing.
Kind of.
It's actually not there, and it's all in my mind.
Your mind grapes?
It's my mind grapes. What are you drinking?
I'm still working on the Grapefruit Sculpin, the Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin, and still enjoying it.
That's good.
You know, I thought that when I got to the bottom of it, you know, when a beer is cold, you know, kind of some of the harsher flavors get mellowed by the cold, and you don't taste them as much, and
sure,
you know, you can be more forgiving. But as the beer gets a little bit warmer, not warm, but you know, room temperature,
yeah,
you know, some of the flavors start to come out, and maybe you don't enjoy it as much. But I'm actually still enjoying it, you know, quite a bit later. So
it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
I'm enjoying it.
Frank, it's the summer.
It's the summer. You know what that means?
Baseball.
Baseball.
Baseball stuff.
Baseball stuff.
I'll be Nomo. You be Jose Canseco.
Were you much of a baseball fan growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Maybe about the same that I am now.
Okay.
Mostly because of my grandfather. I have many memories of watching the Red Sox. Lose with him. and you know, we used to play this game called Hit the Bat,
in which
where instead of like you, the pitcher would throw the ball, and your object was to basically hit the bat that the person was holding, like so they could bunt the ball.
Oh, okay. So they didn't swing, you would just try to throw it at the bat.
Basically.
Oh,
yeah. I think it was so my grandfather didn't have to swing
and
hit the ball. It was just a little reverse game that he played with us. So I have memories of that, but I didn't do Little League or anything or anything like that, because my hand-eye coordination for such things is no good.
Mine is garbage.
Yeah, although I was actually always pretty good with a mitt when we had them, and we would throw it back and forth. I was pretty good.
Pretty good catch.
I could catch. Yeah, as long as it wasn't, you know, something I didn't want to catch. You know,
like the flu.
Or scarlet fever. Are you going to see her again?
Like with pie.
So.
Stupid.
So.
Stupid.
So I have those memories of baseball, but quite honestly, Frank, the thing that I think of with baseball more than anything else is The Sandlot and Angels in the Outfield, the two greatest baseball movies of all time.
You know, they're such good movies.
Yeah.
They're such good movies.
There are three great baseball movies.
Okay.
The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield.
You better have the right
and
answer.
Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the correct answer.
I almost said Rookie of the Year just to kind of stick it to you, but that movie's no good.
No.
His tendons were tight, so he could throw an 80-mile-per-hour fastball. Like, what is that?
No good. No. Yeah, no. But Field of Dreams, very, very yes.
Great.
I would put that at my number one.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Your favorite baseball movie, you mean? Oh, it's just like your number one movie of all time.
No, not of all time. But pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'd probably put it in my top like 50 movies of
Two
all time.
Out of the three of those movies have James Earl Jones in them.
Hey, what do you know about that? Hey.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Angels in the Outfield, what were you doing? Come on, Danny Glover's no substitute.
Come on. Yeah. Plus, he's getting too old for this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That was good.
No R2-D2 there.
R2 bleep 2. Yeah.
That is actually what the little audio file is called on my hard drive.
Is it really R2 bleep 2? Yes. Yes. That's from a while ago. So you put Field. I haven't seen Field of Dreams in a really long time.
I haven't seen it in a handful of years.
But they haven't built it in so long, I haven't had a reason to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't build it, why are you going to come? Ray Liotta's eyes are so pretty in that movie, by the way.
Are they?
Breathtaking.
I don't really remember.
Breathtaking.
Does he play Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta has the prettiest eyes in Hollywood.
Ooh, no. I think Rob Lowe has the prettiest eyes in Hollywood. Ooh,
yeah, he's a contender. He's a contender. But
why did we both choose men?
Well, you know.
Just putting that out there for us. We love you.
Well, anyway.
So Field of Dreams.
This episode is dedicated to my wife and your girlfriend.
Yep. We should put that as the title. So Field of Dreams, actually, we bought at McDonald's.
Oh, wait, what?
McDonald's was selling, which we seldom went to, mind you.
You bought the movie?
We bought the movie.
Like the VHS?
The VHS.
You could do that?
Yeah, they were doing this thing where you could buy like three movies for $20 or whatever it was, and so we bought Field of Dreams, and that's how I saw it. And
wow,
I haven't seen it in such a long time. Is Peace Love Dope from Field of Dreams? Peace Love Dope.
I don't remember.
Can't remember.
I feel like I should know.
I'm pretty sure it is. I haven't seen it in a great while. You should really sit down and watch it.
I would. I'm always down. Like, I am always in the mood for that movie.
That movie is the reason why I wanted Kevin Costner as Pa Kent in Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When he was cast, I was like, that's perfect.
Exactly.
That's so perfect.
And then they wrote him wrong.
Right.
But he was still perfect for the part. Yeah. But they wrote him wrong.
They wrote him wrong. But that's not his fault.
He acted it well.
He did. He gave it his Ray Kinsella best.
Yes. Ooh, good. You're real good at this. Yeah. What is it about that movie that we like so much?
It's Americana, you know?
It is.
It gets to the heart of like what the American dream, what everyone dreams of is like, oh, I'm just going to have my farm and I'm going to play my baseball and, you know, have the wife and the kid and the, you know, sort of, that's the quintessential American pie, apple pie on the, on the windowsill, white picket fence, all that stuff. It really encapsulates all that middle America really well.
I mean, it does it for adults.
For adults.
Because The Sandlot is the American dream for kids.
Exactly.
It is the absolute. Do you know that movie takes place in the 60s?
The Sandlot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the 50s. Oh. For the longest time.
Oh.
But I was watching it today.
Yeah.
For this show while finishing it. Hey, some of us are on vacation. And they have time to do such things.
I think like some of us do our homework. Yeah. I was like, all right. Easy.
No. I was gonna rub the vacation thing and run to your face instead.
Thanks.
And you know that where Hercules is chasing Benny, and that big cake and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's celebrating the anniversary of, I think, the town, and so it's 1962.
Okay,
it says it on the banner, and I was like,
okay,
oh, huh. I always thought it was the late 50s. There you go.
Late 50s, early 60s. Not much difference.
No, there's not. But it just, you know, but it has that like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I do. It doesn't have the look of like what you think of like, oh, 60s, you'd think of more.
It doesn't
like
have 60s Americana. No, it has 50s Americana vibe because it's the 60s. Yeah, and trends usually don't start till the middle of the decade.
Right. Look at a movie from 2002. It looks like 1998. Like, you know, we watched Spider-Man a couple weeks ago, right? Like, a lot of the clothes and everything are very like, wow, that suit. Like, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's 90s. It's still in that mode. Ooh, that material. Polyester. Ooh.
Peter, the science award. Still funny.
Benny, the baseball award. So So, and then there's Angels in the Outfield,
yeah,
which is really about the American family, right?
Yes, it is.
Through baseball, because it's all about Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
right,
whose dad is like, we can't be a family until the Angels win the pennant. Well, you're a crap person. Yeah.
And I'm going to show you, Dad.
I'm going to show you. Get me some Christopher Lloyd action.
Let's
down
do
in
this.
Here. Like, yeah, what a terrible thing to say to a child.
Seriously. I love that movie and have for a long time. And I don't hear people talk about it very much.
Angels in the Outfield?
Angels in the Outfield. I don't hear talk about it
very much. I love Angels in the Outfield.
I love it. I always have. I remember watching it. I think for the first time I saw it was like ABC used to do like on Sunday nights.
Oh,
like
sure.
Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And they would just show a different Disney movie every Sunday night on ABC. Very
yeah.
simple, straightforward. They did it for decades. And I don't think they do anymore. But
no, I don't
now,
think so.
Now they have like Scandal, and
then they
you know,
they have Freeform now.
Sunday, that's right. Oh, do they do that on Freeform now? That kind of stuff.
It's that. Well, it's the other. It's like the kid Disney Channel ish. Yeah. It used to be. It's not really.
Yeah, it's
the
like
same
the
anymore.
Young adult Disney Channel. Now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, they used to do it on plain old
they
ABC.
Have the Disney Channel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember that, and I saw it on there for the first time, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is a baseball movie. I love it. And I absolutely love it. I was at the right age sort of when it came out and everything to really enjoy it and be like, this is magic.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's great. That movie is stacked.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, with the cast?
With the cast.
Oh, ridiculous.
Ridiculously stacked. So kid Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Danny Glover, mm-hmm. as we know, Christopher Lloyd, mm-hmm. as we know,
mm-hmm.
Adrian Brody.
Oh wow! I completely don't remember him being in that movie.
I'm gonna use my one lookup because I know I'm gonna Angels in the.
I will say it's been a very long time since I've last seen it. Maybe 10 years. It's been a long time, so I'm way overdue for a good rewatch of it. But
okay, so here we go.
Yeah, so I probably didn't know who half the people were when I
right.
Last
so
saw it.
Danny Glover,
yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Tony Danza.
That's right, of course, Tony.
Tony Danza, Neil McDonough. Who played?
Oh.
Yeah, for those who was Damien Dark on Arrow,
right.
And he was guy with bowler hat,
dude.
Dum Dum Dugan. Yeah,
that's why. Oh my God! You literally just when he was on Arrow for the first time, I was like, why does this guy who looks like Ray Liotta look so familiar?
It's the chewing gum guy. He does is chew the gum.
Right, and I was like, why do I feel like I know? What have I seen him in? I can't place it. 2 years later, this is it.
This is the moment. It's not Captain America. It's Angels
in
the
Angels
Outfield.
In the Outfield. No, it's not Captain America. It's this.
Wow.
Angels in the Outfield. And you know, back to Ray Liotta, the eyes.
Yeah.
The eyes.
He does have pretty eyes.
Pretty eyes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. These men have pretty eyes in these baseball movies.
Adrian Brody. Dermot Mulroney.
Yes.
And I think my personal favorite out of the entire list. Just making sure that I'm not missing any before I come down to my personal favorite, Matthew McConaughey.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before the McConaissance.
Way before the McConaissance. Oh, yeah. Before Lincoln was even considering Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. My drab, my Lincoln.
Mm.
What's his catchphrase?
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey's catchphrase?
Something. Oh, his catchphrase?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, like the Lincoln catchphrase? I don't know.
Lincoln.
Drive a
we
Lincoln.
Freed the slaves.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Too soon.
No, too soon.
Still too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon to make slave jokes. Nope.
It's not like they have a little President Lincoln sitting on the front of the car, you know, like the Mercedes symbol, but
do.
It's just little,
it's
just little Lincoln memorial.
Little Lincoln
with his top.
Wood ornament on the front of the car.
It's a little bobblehead. Just like all right.
Wow.
That movie's great. I mean, it's super hokey, you know, just call me Al. No one can see me or hear me but you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
But it's so great.
It's great. It's really inspirational. It's got that, like, it's got some, you know, this movie came out in 94, so
yeah.
If you haven't seen it, we're spoiling it.
I mean, it's a 23-year-old movie.
Like. Right, so, but like when the whole stadium stands up and the Angels aren't there and they're at the whole stadium,
yes.
It's just doing the arm flap.
And
what's his face sits on the nachos.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, go home. Where's he going? You told him to go home. So he's going home.
Stupid.
I
love it though.
It is stupid.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah. That woman who plays.
So are those nachos.
That woman who plays Maggie, the woman who looks out for them, is.
Nice.
She is nice. Oh, you know who she is? She's the pigeon lady from Home Alone 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
probably like fresh off Home Alone 2 also. Like it was like
92, 93. Something like that.
Yeah.
Could be the same.
Yeah.
Could be the same year.
Nice.
92.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But anyway, so out of Sandlot and Angels in the Outfield, what do you think is a better movie?
Ooh, probably Sandlot.
I agree.
But the one that has a better, like a bigger place in my heart is Angels in the Outfield of those two.
Oh, why is that? That's interesting.
I think just because the memories I have around watching it. You know, Sandlot, I didn't see until I was a little bit older.
Oh,
I think I was
sure.
A teenager already by the time I saw it. Yeah. So I was kind of, you know, everyone had these memories of it watching it when they were younger. And mm-hmm. I was sort of like, that's new to me. Like, I don't know. So like, I didn't grow up with it.
Sure.
Angels in the Outfield, I feel like I kind of grew up with.
Yeah.
So I have more personal memories attached to it. Is the Sandlot more your favorite?
I think the Sandlot's more my favorite. And we watched both of them a lot. But
really?
I think the Sandlot has some imagery that sticks with you that Angels in the Outfield doesn't.
Right.
You know, I think there's a lot of cute stuff and there's a lot of fun jokes and whatever else. And there's a lot of slapstick in Angels in the Outfield.
Right.
But there's stuff like playing baseball on the 4th of July with the fireworks above them.
Yeah, yeah.
Chewing tobacco and vomiting everywhere. And the flashback sequence with the beast, you know.
Yes.
And just all of that. That scene used to scare the frick out of
yeah.
me when I was a kid. Even now, as a 29-year-old, I'm like, this is a little creepy.
Yeah.
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 It's a little creepy.
Yeah. There's a creep factor.
But I think that movie... Whereas Angels in the Outfield is about, like, the American family and baseball.
Yes.
Like, the Sandlot is also about the American family and baseball, right? Because it's, oh, wow, what's the main kid's name?
Jeremy.
That's not right.
Dexter.
That's not right.
George.
That's not right.
Jordan.
That's not right.
Harry.
I'm just going to look it up. I'm going to use your lookup for this.
James.
Stop that. Stop that.
Parker.
Stop that. My hands are dirty.
Stop. My hands are dirty. Wait. I'm going to place it. Wait.
Oh, did you not?
Oh, come on. I'm going to place it.
My hands are dirty, too. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid. Oh, right. Han Leia. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm not trembling.
Yeah.
You're trembling. Just a bit. Yeah. Whatever. You're trembling is stupider than my trembling.
Captain Solo, I reverse the negative power coupling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I've been in such a mood to watch Empire recently.
Really?
Such a mood.
Really?
Oh, so bad.
All right. Well, this has been Beer with Geeks. Frank and I never watched Empire Strikes Back. Bye.
Bye.
His name is Smalls, by the way. I don't know.
Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Killing
I don't
me,
know
Smalls.
Why I couldn't. I don't know why I couldn't get there. People shouting at their people
God,
shouting at
idiots.
Their headphones. You want some more? How can I have some more? I haven't had anything. It's stuff like that. Also, I wanted that Erector set in the worst way.
Oh man, yeah.
Because we didn't have. I mean, we had Legos and stuff, but
we had
Legos. I didn't have an Erector set. My dad had an Erector set growing
really?
Up, and so when that scene would come up, he'd be like, "Yeah,
yeah."
I used to have one of those.
My dad had one too. And I, whenever I would, you know, when I first heard of one, I was like, "What is that?" He's like, "Eh, it's like Legos, but better."
But better.
It's like I don't
way
understand.
Way more complicated.
How can it be better than Lego, Dad?
I mean, you can't build the Millennium Falcon out of that.
I mean, you could if you really, really tried.
You can build the frame. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like Kinects.
Yes, which I didn't care for
no,
as much.
I didn't either.
No.
I got some for a birthday once, and they were fine.
They're fine.
But they were not Lego.
No.
They were trying hard to be Lego, but...
They were never Lego.
Never.
No.
Killing me, Smalls. How did we forget Smalls?
I don't know. It's by Wendy.
I'm an idiot.
Did you know? So Wendy Peppercorn,
Peppercorn,
right? Did you know it's not peppercorn? It's peppercorn. P-E-F-F.
I did not know that.
I found that out today because I was like, I wonder if she's been in anything.
Oh yeah.
And so I typed in Wendy Peppercorn and it autocorrected to peppercorn.
Peppercorn.
Yeah.
I have seen it written down, but in the movie, it totally sounds like peppercorn,
which I think is a better name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wendy Peppercorn. God, he looks like a dead fish. That movie, actually, The Sandlot, always
yeah.
makes me want to watch The Wolfman. You know, you could only kill a werewolf with a silver stake or a silver bullet or a, you know, a silver spoon or whatever. Yeah, the werewolf built you, didn't he? Yeah, he did. It's when Hercules is chasing Benny and
okay.
they run to the cinema.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And so they
yeah.
do this little like in between, like it's like the werewolf
like,
tracing
okay,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I always found that kind of comic, like they're something they're watching the Wolfman. I love that. I also love that. Like, well, why didn't you just knock on the door? I'd have gotten it for you.
You know, that movie, in a weird way, kind of feels like A Christmas Story.
Explain.
It's meant to be like a throwback. If you were old enough when the movie came out, if you were old enough to remember that time,
yeah,
I imagine that it was a sort of similar kind of nostalgia.
Oh yeah,
that,
sure.
Like A Christmas Story imparts on the audience. If you're old enough to, you know, if you were that kid's age,
that's true. Although actually, that's not true because I think you're right. Don't get me wrong. But I think it gives you a false sense of nostalgia, even if you weren't around for that era.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I was certainly not born anywhere near 1962.
Right.
But like, I watch it and I have this weird sense of nostalgia for an era that I wasn't around for.
Yes.
It's almost in a weird way, even like watching Stranger Things for like a younger generation.
Yeah.
That's like, they're watching a movie about the 80s that for people in there were like, wow, what nostalgia. And they're like, You were born in 1998.
Right. You get nostalgia for something you were never there for.
Right, exactly. But I think because even me, I was born in the 80s, but I don't remember the 80s that.
Right.
So,
neither.
But I think it's that same vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like going back to that fireworks, you know, like playing baseball and then like Ray Charles, America the Beautiful, and then, you know, like all that stuff. There's like a overwhelming sense of like even just like little things like slapping the steak on his. On Small's black eye. Leary is the dad. And Marion is the mom, which I didn't realize until maybe last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she gets hit in the head with the connector set. And I was like, oh my God, it's Marion.
Yeah.
This is where she was. Yeah.
That's where she's been.
Maybe, because Small's dad died, right?
Yeah.
So if you ignore Indiana Jones 4 or parts of it, maybe Indy was the one that passed away and she remarried Dennis Leary. And so the Sandlot is in the Indiana Jones universe.
That is an idea I could get behind.
That is an idea that nobody has thought about.
That also means Crystal Skull probably never happened, so hey.
This is something you can get behind, certainly. Yeah.
But I'd really prefer it if Temple of Doom never happened, but...
You know, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about the era of, you know, like, they're talking about the onset of Rotten Tomatoes and what that does for movies.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And people don't have tolerance for... bad movies and how that can make or break directors, mm-hmm. even though other directors who we consider to be some of the best ever have also had bad movies that were poorly reviewed.
Yeah.
But because there was no Rotten Tomatoes,
it didn't
destroy their careers.
That's interesting.
Because people forget that, say, Temple of Doom was not beloved even then.
Right.
But Señor Spielberg is still, you know.
Still Señor Spielberg.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure where you got that from, but that's a very interesting point. But
I think it was the Empire Film Podcast.
Okay.
But I'm not positive.
That's a very, very good point. I've never thought about that before.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of something I was just listening to recently on the Nerdist podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright was on.
I am listening to that episode now.
Great. Well, he gets to a certain point. He mentions how, you know, when you were a kid and there were only four channels on TV, this is before our time, yours and mine, but when he was growing up and there were only four channels on TV, you know, whatever movie was on, you would just watch it. And even if it was terrible, you'd be like, yeah, it wasn't good, but you got to watch it for this 5 minutes. These 5 minutes are great. Like, mm-hmm. the rest of the movie is terrible, but like, it's worth watching just for this 5 minute great, great chase scene or fight scene or whatever. Like, and we don't really have it anymore because now there's so much to watch. There's so much choice that it's like, well, I'm not going to watch this 2 hour movie for a 5 minute scene. Like, I'll go watch just a good movie, and if I want to watch that scene, I'll watch it on YouTube or something.
You know, that's very true, but that's still how I watch movies.
You'll watch a whole
movie for a great 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman is a perfect example of that, where like you are very like, that whole movie is meh, but I'm like, but the warehouse fight.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
But
it's not enough for me.
Right, but that's it. But that's what I mean, like, that's the, maybe the...
But, okay, yeah, that's true.
Because I could also say the rest of the movie is also like meh.
Well... I would agree. So if a movie is meh, it's just fine, fair to middling.
Yeah.
But there's a really great 5 or 10 minute scene.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to do it for that. But if a movie is making me actively angry most of the time,
oh sure,
and
okay,
it's a 5 minute scene that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, then I'm like, it's not worth the frustration for the 5 minutes of enjoyment.
Okay. So maybe that's more like.
But if it's just fine, okay, if it's just like, it's not a good movie, but it's
slightly fine. Slightly heresy, and maybe not the best idea because it's the beginning of the movie. Actually, I'll go with one that's not heretical. Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
I love it. I think it's Tarantino's best. I think
it's my favorite Tarantino film.
It's my favorite. I mean, it's not his best, but it's my favorite. Mm-hmm. But the opening 10 minutes of that film.
Very slow.
Oh, I disagree. I love the first. I think the beginning of the film is.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I love it. But it's not action packed.
No, but I think the rest of the movie. See, in my opinion, I don't think the rest of the movie holds up with that first.
Oh, you think the first 10 minutes is the best?
I think that it's just an unbelievable 10 minutes of film.
It's so wrought with tension.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah. Although the bar scene with Michael Fassbender
is also really equally great. That is true.
And so, so maybe those two scenes are like, those are the things that you go like, wow, that movie was great.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it could be kind of like being held up by those two scenes.
Interesting.
Because when I think of that movie, I really think of three things individually. You know, like I think of those two scenes, and I think of Brad Pitt going "Buongiorno."
Yes.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
That's about it. So it could be like that where you, in if I was like a younger film watcher, I guess, then I would watch just those scenes and then move on to something else. But I'm like, I can't do that. I'm committed to the film.
Mm.
Where other people will say, like, go on YouTube, watch that one scene, and then move on. And I can't do that.
For the most part, I think especially if it's like a critically acclaimed film or, you know, maybe it's not popular with audiences, but critics said, like, this is a really great film.
Yeah.
I can sit through what maybe is, I think is kind of boring or whatever to get to enjoy it in a larger sense.
Yeah.
You know? It's only when a movie is actively making me angry that I'm like,
sure. And very few,
very few films
actively make you angry.
Very, very few.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. What other films actually actively make you angry apart from BVS DOJ?
And Man of Steel.
And MOS. Moss.
Moss. I'm struggling to think of one right now, honestly.
Yeah, because I've never really seen you get angry about films the way that you get angry about those.
Yeah,
so.
Those make me upset, but I don't think there's anything else that makes me that really that angry. Nothing else that I'm really that invested in that I feel like they've totally, like even the Star Wars prequels, you know, I was growing up when
I like them. I'm just saying.
I don't love, you know, and as an adult rewatching them, I see the flaws now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I didn't see them as a kid or as a teenager.
Right.
I see them now.
A lot of my favorite movies, there are tons of flaws that I'm not looking at.
Agreed,
many of them exist in the Sandlot and Angels in the Outfield, but I'm not looking for them.
Sure, but I've learned to. Well, I was trained to overlook the flaws because I was just excited there were new Star Wars movie coming out when I was a kid. And now, even though I see the flaws, I'm like, whatever. It's still Star Wars. Like they're not fantastic. They're not pieces of art. These three.
Yeah.
But they're still Star Wars. Like I still. We'll watch them from time to time, you know, and enjoy them. I definitely watch them less than the original trilogy.
Sure.
But I still, once in a while, I feel like I'm in the mood for the whole saga.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think I went through a period in which I didn't ignore the flaws, and now I'm back into a mode in which I do.
Mm.
But when I was in high school, particularly junior, senior year, two films came out that I remember being very angry about. One of them was Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh.
Which mangles the book to, like, you know, the first two Harry Potter films, like, they're bright and fun, and, like, you'd be like, wow, I want to live there. And then Alfonso Cuarón came in and be like, it's this weird, dark, dank, and creepy world. And you're like, why is this magical? Why would you want to live there?
Right.
And then the story gets flopped around for a lot of nonsensical reasons, and then things start to not add up as the films go on and on. So that always gets to me, and I'm like, and now as an adult, I can look at it and be like, this is a really well-made film. Like, it's doing the thing, and it's doing that thing well. I just don't agree with the way that
sure,
it's doing
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure.
But as a kid, I did not. And the other one that physically got me, like, really mad was The X-Men The Last Stand, because that, it's an overwrought, overstuffed film. And now, but going back, I can be like, there's a lot of good stuff in that film. And there's a lot of good bits that I really, there's
sure.
a lot of, and so like I've lessened my stance on all of these things as I've gotten older. So maybe one day it'll happen for you too.
Yeah. You know, you just mentioned X-Men, and that reminds me, Fantastic Four, the most recent one.
Yeah.
The 2015, I guess it was.
2015, yeah.
Yeah, that one gets me pretty riled up. Not to the same extent as Superman.
Really?
Or, yeah, but it's,
I'm just like, this is just, you just had so many good things going for you. Like, you had all the right, you had Michael B. Jordan, you had Kate Mara, you had all these reasons why, you know, why it should have been good.
Toby Kebbell. Toby Kebbell's a good actor.
Yeah. Who's that? Is that?
He played Dr. Doom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you had all these, all the right pieces on the board, and you couldn't pull it off. And,
yeah.
And Josh Trank, you know, like, you had all the right pieces, and I feel like the studio probably got involved there and ruined it. At least that's Josh Trank's version of the story.
Yeah. That film is interesting because I think the film that it would have turned out to be, I think it would have been Fantastic Four in name only, and then, but it wouldn't have really felt like Fantastic Four, and I think the studio tried to rectify that and kind of tried to do both versions, and that's where it fails.
Yeah.
And so what's worse, one that tries to do both and fails, or one that's not even worth calling the Fantastic Four?
I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it's like if they at least took a stand, like maybe it wouldn't be, you know, like some of the Marvel movies are not necessarily super true to every aspect of every character, but they're still good movies,
right?
And good storytelling.
No film is as true to its main cast of characters,
right?
Like, really, it always changes things.
Right.
Sometimes for the better, and most of the time for worse. But I think in this new era, most of the time it's for the better.
Recently, I agree.
But in the past, not so much.
Yeah, in the long view of film history, it's usually pretty bad.
Yeah,
but in the last 15 years. It's been mostly for the better.
It's been for the better,
Not for the better, but for, you know, for good.
It's been fine.
You know, I'm not going to say that Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is better than the original, you know, Spider-Man Vision, but it's good.
Yeah,
it's good. Right. Amazing Spider-Man 2. I didn't love either.
Overstuffed. Feels like a studio film.
Yeah.
You can always tell when a film feels like it's being made by a committee versus being made by somebody with a singular vision. Or even two or three people with a singular vision.
Yeah. Russo Brothers, like, you know, like, trust them.
But their vision happens to line up with the studios.
Which is the best scenario.
Right.
Because then the feedback from the studio only makes a film better.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why Pixar is so good at what they do, because they have the story group.
Yeah.
They have the group that obsessively throughout the entire process of making a film is constantly weighing in on, like, what's the overall story? Is this a good story? And they make changes along the way. And it's like the director, you know, is in charge, but the story group has a lot of say.
Yeah.
And so it is a committee, but it's a committee that shares the vision with the director, and so they work together to guide it to be the best overall story with lots of little moments along the way that kind of add delight.
Right.
That's why Pixar movies are so, so good.
Right. And what we're talking about is really what the Han Solo film has been going through.
Oh, sure.
This all this time.
Right.
Which is why Phil Lord and Chris Miller got replaced, because
their
vision deviated from the story.
Right.
Essentially. I just heard that. Did you know apparently it was Alden...
Alden Ehrenreich. I heard this rumor...
That he was the one that brought it to the attention of Lucasfilm.
I'm a little skeptical of that.
Me
only
too.
It seems like they would know. The producers would know.
I agree. I feel like Kathleen Kennedy she knows.
Yeah, I think she's plugged in. So I don't know that it's entirely his fault.
It's possible that the star of the movie voicing it is something that maybe prompted it into a larger scale.
Might have been the last straw or something like that. But I doubt that like. They were unaware, and then he said something, and then they were like, oh, well, if Alden thinks so. It was probably more of, there were lots of reasons, and his was just one, his complaint was one reason, but that's the one that got out to the press, so that's what people are saying it was. Anyway, that's why I love The Sandlot and Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, that was a digression. Certainly.
Worthy of Beer with Geeks.
What's your favorite bit from each of these films? Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, I love it when, this is silly, but I love it when Shula shows up at the field and he like complains about the lights, like makes it hard to see the ball.
Oh yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah, I actually like that scene a lot. Just Ray like standing in awe of his hero. I mean, how is this dead guy here?
Yep.
But really, the ending.
I was going to say the ending.
When the cars are all lined, like that's beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say the end.
Beautiful. Angels in the Outfield, you know, I can't do this on the radio.
Flapping
the arms.
I'll flap my arms like this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm gonna move my arms like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And then
men.
Probably.
Oh, and all women too.
Yeah, the Sandlot, when the ball goes over the fence. Baby Ruth, all that stuff, the Sultan of Swat.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's the same guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All that.
I love the. There's a lot of sets. Definitely, and the Angels in the Outfield, I'd say. I think when Danny Glover's playing baseball with all those kids and he tells that one, go home.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. I love.
Great 90s cheese.
It's great. Yeah. And Sandlot's tough.
That's tough.
There's a lot of really good stuff. I'm going to say S'mores, though.
S'mores is a good
pick. I'd have to say S'mores. That's a good pick. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
Even out of context, it's just so good.
So good.
Although I do love the Erector set, like, save, like, try to get the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
The 4th of July when he's taking all the hot dogs and, like, eating them on the way.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great film.
Great film. Thing.
All three great films.
Field of Dreams favorite moment?
The end.
The end. Okay.
Yeah, the great. End. Because it's over. No, just kidding. Yeah. Oh, man. Makes me want to go and play baseball, though.
Mm.
Oh, man. Poorly, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only way I know how to play.
Yeah, poorly.
Yeah.
We could just throw on some MLB.
Yeah. I do have a subscription to MLB at bat or MLB.TV.
All right.
So.
Well.
All right. Well, you can find us on the intertubes. At beerwithgeeks.com, at beerwithgeeks on Twitter, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. You can also connect with us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review, 4 or 5 stars, if you please. You can say, Ray Liotta has the prettiest eyes when you leave us an iTunes review right now. Pull over, stop what you're doing, leave us an iTunes
not
review
on a bridge.
Right now. Not on a bridge, not in a tunnel, not anywhere where it's illegal, not where there's no shoulder.
Not on someone's front lawn.
Nah, not there either. But please do that. Because we do, it does make a big difference to us. Patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio is where you can hear episodes of this show weeks and weeks before anyone else. You can also hear episodes of Academy Rewind weeks and weeks before anyone else. That's Tim's new podcast with our friend Palmer.
Yes, indeed. We're taking a look back at the Oscar nominees from years past. We're going backwards through the years. And so is Saving Private Ryan a better movie than Shakespeare in Love, even though that made Best Picture? Find out. Is Dangerous Liaisons even worth watching? Other things? Does Rain Man hold up? Or is it kind of awkward now in what we know about today's medical world?
Interesting.
So find out more.
I get to hear these episodes first.
Because I make you edit them. Because
I'm the producer.
Yeah.
But you guys get to hear them right after me. So
yeah.
Check it out.
Second in line is pretty good.
Not
Patreon.com.
Not
pretty
bad.
Good.
Patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. But alas, it is time for us to go.
Alas, alas for you lawyers and Pharisees.
Wow.
That should be.
Should have seen that coming.
You should have.
I really should have.
Yeah. Well, it's all for the best. You didn't. Your microphone is in your eyeball.
Day by day.
Yeah.
I gotta take it day by day. All right.
Well, iTunes, friendship, baseball, all those things.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Until next time. Until next time.
Cheers.